السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله. We'll continue in reflection on Asma Allah al-Husna, and inshallah the name and attribute we will talk and discuss today, the attribute al-Haqq, al-Haqq, the absolute, the real and the absolute. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Haqq, and everything that Allah gives from Him, it's al-Haqq. Whether it is a concept, a word, a thought, everything that has to do with Allah is al-Haqq. And when we say there is Haqq, we say there is also batil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا بَعْدُ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. That is, what is after al-haq except falsehood? There is nothing in between. Either this or that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, موجود, He exists. But we also say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is wajib al-wujud. Wajib and wajib al-wujud. That is, He must exist. He must exist. Because wajib al-wujud, without Him, nothing else will exist. See, Allah must exist for anything else that could exist. Okay? Everything else is mumkin al-wujud. There is a possibility of it to be existing, but not absolutely must exist. Okay? Imagine that. Okay? That everything Allah created. So because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, then Allah must exist. And everything else could exist or not exist. Okay? So Allah is wajib al-wujud. So now we say Allah wajib al-wujud, and He's the only one who exists in this sense, in this understanding. He's the only one. And He is the highest, and everything that exists, that is mumkin al-wujud, possible that it will exist, it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all goodness is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not come from any of His creation. It comes only from Him. And that is haqq, that is absolute, and that is the absolute existence. When we say something that is haqq, that means you know that you're getting what you're expecting from it. Okay? When I tell you, you know, plug something in the wall, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْأَعْلَى, plug something in the wall, and socket in the wall there, and you'll get, you know, current. Okay? If you do, and you do not get the result, that is false. But if you plug it and you get the result, that is haqq. Okay? So now, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives from Him is absolute haqq. So Allah created Adam alayhi salam, and then Allah put Adam alayhi salam's soul Ruh from whom? From Allah. That is haqq. Okay. The aqeedah we have of La ilaha illallah, it is the absolute haqq. And anything beside it, anything else and everything else is false. Okay. That which exists and will continue to exist is haqq. Jannah is haqq. Hellfire is haqq. The day of judgment is haqq. It is absolutely and it will exist and it is by Allah. The nafs and the ruh, Allah gave it to mankind. And this haqq will go to the haqq of the hereafter, the haqq of the nafs. So when we have, when we articulate something, we articulate something, either it is haqq or batil, either it's absolute truth or falsehood. If it matches with that which is haqq, that means what we say is absolutely haqq. Absolute. And when we think of something, a concept that matches with what Allah has given us, it is absolutely haqq, and everything is batil, is falsehood. Okay? And we are living in the world today with the concept of falsehood in everything. Okay? In everything. So, why I'm saying that? Because the world today is teaching the concept, has been teaching the concept of everything is relative. See? Once you say everything is relative, so therefore there is no haqq. Haqq is relative, is not absolute. The haqq with you could be false with somebody else, and the haqq with somebody else could be false with you, and you can coexist and no problem, and this is okay. No, it is not okay. You can coexist, but there is a problem. Okay? Which is, one haqq must exist, and everything else is false. The relationship in the society, marriage is one way of marriage that is absolute haqq, and everything else is absolutely false. Money matter, there are absolutely ways in it that are false that we cannot touch. Okay? There is everything in what we do. That or everything that we do has haqq in it, and it could have falsehood in it. Now, as I was talking to the youth just now, last concept we were given is what is the mark of a haqq, the mark and the sign of a haqq. How do you recognize that haqq? Of course, it is from Allah, so therefore it's al-haqq. But a sign and a quality, let us say, a quality of al-haq, that it is absolute. So we could never find any part of it is false. Because once a part of it is false, does not matter how minute this is, the whole thing becomes false. Falsehood can almost look like al-haq, and it has a lot of quality of al-haq, but it has a portion of it of false, so therefore all of it is falsehood. Okay? And this is the trick of shaitan. Trick of shaitan to get you false, to look at falsehood as something has a lot of justice in it, has a lot of fairness in it, has a lot of humanity in it, has a lot of kindness in it, which is all these qualities are the qualities of haqq, But then every part of these qualities, there is a part of false in there. Then this good looks of that does not matter. So long it has this smoke of falsehood. Al-Haqq is always straightforward. Always straightforward. And always very easy to understand. And it seems to be simple. But you take it in and you dwell on it, and it gets like a pyramid, as I would say. It gets bigger. As you come from the top and you see the concept of like La ilaha illallah, that's it. This is all what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls for. La ilaha illallah, that's it. Very simple, straightforward, right? Now, goodwill on it in all aspects of life. And take it with your intellect. Take it with your heart. Discuss it. Write papers about it. Reflect on it. The more you do so, the bigger it gets. The more you go deep in it, the bigger it gets. And the wider it gets. And the more rich it becomes for you and your life and for humanity until the day of judgment. Falsehood is the opposite. Falsehood is twinkling, attractive, looking really nice. But then you try to dwell in it, it is upside down pyramid. It gets narrower and narrower until the last question you ask, or the second or the third question you ask, it is gone, completely gone. Okay? And this is the job of shaitan. Makes this pyramid of falsehood looking in the surface so good. Then you touch it, you practice it, you go in it, you go a little bit deep in it, and you get disgusted. You get nowhere. You get to find out this is false. The haqq, the more you get deep in it, the more enrichments your mind get, the more enriched your mind get, the more satisfaction you find in your heart. The more you become like a fish in the water, you cannot come out of it. And when you are connected with Al-Haqq, you become so attached to it that you cannot do without it anymore. Once you let go with it a little bit, or the practice of Al-Haqq, it has an effect on you. Similarly, those who have falsehood, and listen carefully, when they see Al-Haqq coming, they feel pain in their heart. Okay? Can you imagine you see Al-Haqq and you feel uncomfortable? Yes. Because when you are so much in falsehood, it affects you so much that it takes a lot of work to come out of it. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew a line and said, and drew lines coming out of this line and lines coming out of those lines and so forth, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a straight path. And these are the crooked path. And there is a shaitan on every crooked path. And when I grab you, and if you go in, what happened? Another shaitan will find you on another crooked path. Now, if you are going into this path after one after another, to come back to the straight path, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. Okay. But as soon as you step out of the straight path and you want to come back in, it is closer to you. It's not going to be as painful. Now, also, the method of implementation of Al-Haqq has to be Haqq by itself and represented as a total package, and you cannot divide it. Because if you listen carefully, inshallah, if you take part of Al-Haqq and talk about it and dwell about it, and that's all you talk about, you ask, does this have any falsehood in it? We say no. Is this the Haqq? Yes, but it's part of it. You're not bringing the whole picture. And if you keep bringing one side of it, always, it has an effect on a human being. That when he sees the whole picture, it throws them off balance. They're not satisfied with it. Can you imagine that? Let me give a couple of examples. And some examples I gave before. We talked about lawyers and law, right? Okay. That's another session we're talking about. Now, can you imagine studying law? What do you do? You go from, you know, pre-law school first, right? That is, you finish college, and then you enter law, and then law school, and then you study and keep studying, and then you know about the law, and then the highest level of law is what? You try to know where the law, how do you drive that's not the right word. I'll find the right word in English, inshallah. That, where is the law coming from? Derive is the word that I was looking for. Okay? It is not to legislate. It is where the legislation coming from and how it was developed. That is the highest level. Just like in fiqh, we say there is fiqh and there is usul al-fiqh. Right? Usul al-fiqh is how do you derive, you reach that opinion of fiqh. Okay? There's a person who gets that opinion and say, okay, this opinion is because has dalil. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, the Quran says that, and so forth. And we know, so this is the dalil and we implement it, right? But someone goes beyond that and say, you know, here is the way of usul al-fiqh, of, okay, let us go with our intellect here and research and study, you know, how you form the thought and how you get the dalail, and then you come up with this kind of opinion. That is a very high level, okay? Now, only ulama would do that in a very high level. And you can study it, but after you study everything, right? So you study it after you study, for example, you enter, you know, you study Quran. You memorize the Quran or half of it, or many as that. Then you go into hadith. Then you go to the fiqh al-hadith. Then you go to sharia, and you study sharia. And then, you know, and you keep going and going in all these knowledge and tafsir, Quran, and so forth, until you almost graduate, and you graduate, and then you study what? Usul al-fiqh now. Study fiqh and then usul. Where is the how? Now, was this the method of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Yes. Did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teach the companion right away the fiqh? No. Did he teach them aqidah first? Yes. Now, does it matter the order of things? Yes. And this is the point. This haqq, as it was given to us, we have to take it as it is, and we take it the same steps as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us, as Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala put it in the Quran. And we cannot switch things. Just like prayer, you cannot make sujood before ruku'ah. This is the tartib of the salah, has to be there as it is. Now, when you mix that, what happened? You don't know until you practice it. Okay? When you mix the order of things, you don't know what the result is going to, what result you're going to get, unless you see it in practice and you see the diseases that comes from it. Okay? And here is the disease that comes from this. You get people coming to the masajid who barely know aqidah. Okay? But they are intellectually high level. Okay? So you get someone who is have a doctorate degree in that. He's an engineer in this. He's a, you know, this and that. Okay? And that is all good and nice. And a Muslim with education and secular education is better than a Muslim, you know, do not have much, and so forth and so on. Both of them are good. But now, the one with high level of intellect, you want to teach them aqidah, they should learn aqidah first. But there are some, you know, ways, groups who go right to the usul al-fiqh. So what happens? You get the person and you stimulate their intellect by saying, you're talking about how the fiqh is done and talking about legislation, how these laws came from and so forth. And it becomes very beautiful and smart and intellectual, high intellectual kind of talks and research. Okay? Now, this information, is it correct? Yeah, it could be correct, no problem. Legitimate? Yes. So forth. But now, what does it do? It is training a person the opposite of how Rasulullah ﷺ trained. Okay? Rasulullah ﷺ trained the aqidah and the heart and getting close to Allah and the ghaib and doing the unseen and so forth. Right? When you are trained the opposite way, what happened? You get used to stimulating your intellect and judging things. And usually you find these groups, they tell you, you know something, what is the problem with us today, the Muslims? We are too emotional. We need to get back to the ground here, to realities and so forth. Cannot be too emotional. Look at things in the way it should be and so forth. Nice, nice words, okay? But what that happens, it teaches one to use their intellect and not use the intellect of their heart. So the aqidah has a lot of deficiency yet, it's not strong. So now you tell him after you know, months and months and year of learning through this method, you sit and say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and then you say a hadith, and then they take it with their, the way they are trained, with their intellect. So they say, okay, is this logical? Is this, they start right away critiquing the hadith itself. Okay, try to see if that makes sense or doesn't make sense. You understand, they are almost above this, and they cannot help it because they're trained to think this way. The aqidah is not strong. Okay, so what happens? They start leaving the masajid. They start, you know, doing their own thing. And actually, I know some came out of Islam just by this method of al-haq, but implemented and teaching it in a different way than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're saying here, this is very dangerous. Here is, and I said this once before, about a brother who came to me. He was new not new, he's been a Muslim for about 7 or 8 years. And he's coming and he's very concerned. He says, Mahmoud, you know what happened? What happened? The one who brought me to Islam is out of Islam. Okay? And right away I said, is he from the group so and so? He said, yes, how did you know? I said, I'm just guessing, you know, because this is mostly how it happens. And now he said, listen, do you know that now he is in the internet promoting the solution for the money problem of the world through non-existence of riba and the Islamic system? And promoting the system, it is the solution for the world. You understand this, subhanAllah, he's thinking that this method is the best solution, but he's taking it with his intellect. And he just came out of Islam. and continue saying that this is a solution for the whole world and this and that. See, you almost cannot understand this. But if you use a different method that Rasulullah ﷺ gave, this is the result you get. Also, another example. Al-Haq, we are ummatan wasata. We are a nation that is in the middle. When you say wasat, meaning middle, that means what? There are always balance. Always balance. And there is always two extremes. But there is always balance. Okay? So now, you find, you know, teaching about the goodness of Islam, the kindness of Islam, the love for humanity. And you concentrate in that in the whole method of teaching. Okay? And that would be the core of everything that you do. You'll have a message that does that and only that. Okay? Talking about that we are all, you know, a human being. We are all from the same, you know, father. We have brotherhood in humanity and so forth. Yes? Now, look at Rasulullah ﷺ and the beautiful way of this, loving this and helping that and so forth. Yes, and all of this correct. But now, that is not the balance that the Islam gives us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about love, Allah talks about hate. Okay? And hate, that which you should hate, the kufr. You should hate the concept of kufr. You could hate the concept of nifaq. You could hate the concept that Allah said a Muslim should hate. Okay? So now, you keep dwelling only one side of the scale and keep dwelling on it. Even though it is all correct, but it's not balanced, it's not the whole picture. You start to get disease in the heart. How is this disease manifested itself? And also, you know, if you start now choosing certain practices of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or making up certain other practices and so forth and putting into this love and so forth. And what happened? You get to an extreme that when you start to communicate with those who are in that extreme and say, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, Allah habbaba ilaykum al-iman wa zayyanahu fi qulubikum. Allah made you love iman and beautified it as an ornament in your heart. And then Allah says, وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعَصِيَانِ. Allah made you hate disbelief and coming out of the practice and disobedient. Allah made you hate that. And once you started saying, talking this way, you find the person who is used to that kind of unbalanced way of learning having a pain, having non-acceptance of this, feeling uncomfortable with this, coming out with irrational ways, being upset without being logical. Why? It's just like you got used to something, you know, a certain food, you eat all the time and never put salt on it, and salt is good for you. As soon as you take a little bit of food with a little bit of salt, you're going to feel bad and want to spit it out and so forth, but that is how it is, because this part of the food has to be there for your nutrition. Okay? But because you're not used to it, you don't want it. And you are fighting against it. I hope it's nothing that I said. I'm sorry. So, this is haqq and batil. This is absolute truth and falsehood. So, when we say absolute truth and falsehood, that doesn't mean only in the information, okay, but also in the method. And we get in the method from Allah through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very specific way, and we cannot alter it. Okay. And when we do, we will never know where we're going until we get there. And we'll say, where did this problem come from? It came from just, I'm not even saying being deviant from the information, but saying being not balanced, not being balanced in the information, not being balanced in the looking at what the haqq of both parts of the haqq, the absolute that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a method that a Muslim always should have, that when you're making a decision in a matter, when you look at things, it's a principle always that you look at. There is a balance in everything. Because remember, when we said Allah is al-adl, Allah, there is a balance in everything. Okay? And you, when you offset this balance, you actually become a person who is off balance. Okay? And you cannot stand being balanced anymore. And if in order for you to be balanced again, you have to go through a lot of work and a lot of pain to be balanced. Okay? So, you talk about how a Muslim should react to certain things. These days we're talking about what happened to Palestine, to our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza, and what's happening to them, right? Now what are we going to say? We say al-haq, right? Do they have the right to defend themselves? Yes, they must defend themselves. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means they have to actually fight, and the possibility of killing people? Well, Rasulullah said, a man came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, if somebody come and take my belongings or my mulk, something that I own, what do I do? Muhammad said, stop him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, if he fights me, he said, fight him back. He said, what if he kills me? You're in Jannah. What if I kill him? He's in hellfire. That's a hadith. Okay? Now you get a person who's only listening to and consumed by what? We are all brothers in the universe. We are all this. Allah loves us all and we love everything and so forth. And we close our eyes and connect with Allah and look at our heart and so forth. And it's a beautiful life. Allah will take us to a high level of understanding with this kind of practice and so forth and so on. Okay, so what happens? They hear this hadith and it's as if you throw them with a rock. And it would be a problem. What is the problem? Well, but this is another solution. Can they be peaceful with this and that? You know, this and that. And they cannot become logical. You just go around in circle. Okay? Why? Because their heart is not balanced. What they learn is something only one-sided. And the haqq is complete, has to be taken as it is. Now, those who are trying to have deficiencies with the Muslims and put them through ways so they will not be effective and they understand Islam differently, they're studying these things very carefully and very cleverly. And they want to get the Muslimin today in the world, especially in the West, to think in al-haq, in just unbalanced way. Not very clear falsehood in it. You cannot point a finger and say this is false in it. You can, some certain things, but you say maybe it is this, maybe it is that. But to just be encourage the haqq, that's part of the haqq, without putting the whole balance of haqq there, this is what they are promoting. So you get the result that is desirable, not the result desirable for that non-haq, for those who does not desire haq. Okay? And this happened in a very subtle way, in a very clever way. Okay? And it is the work of shaitan. It is the work of shaitan. Okay? So we need to gain knowledge. We need to see al-haq as a total package. We need to be the best people in manners. And when Rasulullah ﷺ tell us, you know, that he who adhas dhimmi fa ana khasimu yawm al-qiyamah, the one who bothers, the bothers, the dhimmi, the one who is a Christian or a Jew in living among the Muslimin. If you bother him, you have me to answer to in the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallam saying, okay, you want best manners than this, okay, but at the same time, there is no compromise in aqeedah. Okay, there is no compromise in any part of al-haq. Okay, but in muamalat, we should have the best of manners. And if we mix those two, and now movements come and mix in those two, it will cause many problems to us, especially with our youngsters, because the information they are getting, it is one-sided everywhere. But when we think about we hear information that's coming in, and this happened and that happened and so forth, we have the background and the knowledge to balance this, to delete that, to throw this out of the window and keep that, and we do that automatically. And we think that our children, our youth are doing the same thing. But they do not have the talent or the practice and the way to be able to do this. Okay? So therefore, and we see it, I see it a lot personally, when talk to some of the youth about a certain subject, I am amazed of their answer that is off balance. And I realize that we're not doing our job. I realize that they are listening to many things around that is not balanced. They're listening to part of al-haq, but not the total picture of al-haq. Okay? We say, we're looking at the problem with our youth in the West and how to bring them to the masajid. And we try to bring them with some attractive activities so they can come to the masjid. But we do not work on their identity as Muslimin with the connection of Muslims in the whole world. When you ask any youth, just about any youth, about the history of Islam and Muslims in the contemporary history now, the last few years, they would have no idea. They know the Battle of Badr, they know the Battle of Uhud, they know all of that, which they should know and so forth, but they don't know the dynamics between haq and falsehood in the world they are living today. Okay? There is some youth that when you talk to them about the closest atrocity that happened to Muslims today was, of course, Palestine. And what happened a few years ago? Do you remember Jenin? What happened in Jenin? Anyone remember? Yes? Say yes if you remember. I only heard one yes. Okay? What happened only a few years ago was more and what is like what's happening today in the last few days. And we were as excited and saying the same things and so forth. And we forgot about it. And the youth do not know anything about it. Anything about it. And before that was Bosnia. And what happened in Bosnia? And the atrocities that happened for years and years, and how the West looked at it and so forth. And you ask any of the youth about Bosnian conflict, they say, oh, I have no idea. Or someone says, yeah, there were some problems there. And for not knowing our contemporary, our recent history, that is very dangerous. Okay? But because, simply, if you don't know what happened last year or the year before, you can fall in the same thing this year or the next year. Okay? And it's very easy to disconnect with those that you don't know. But once you know, you will know two things: your brothers and sisters who suffer. Second, how that came about so it will never happen again. What happened is the Holocaust, right? You remember any one of the youth, talk to them about the Holocaust, they would, yeah, we know that. We study in school. We have books read about it. Yes, it's bombarded in television, this and that. But what about the history of Palestine? What about what happened 2 years ago? I have no idea. This is something that is very urgent with us, very urgent, that we should be able to have piles of information, accurate information, okay? Not propaganda, just facts. This is what happened here, and this is what happened there, and this is how it happened. And know this, remember this, memorize that. So when they see how falsehood working, you could see it from far away. They could see it before it happens. They could have the knowledge of how shaitan works. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to see al-haq clear and help us to put it in our heart, in our hand, and be able to use it and be able to see falsehood clearly so we do not fall in it. Insha'Allah, please, if you, not if you, you must, insha'Allah. As we are used to the comments and the discussions, insha'Allah. And for the sisters of the, if you want to share anything as well, insha'Allah, please do so. Okay. You know who to give the microphone to. You got it already. See, he knows himself.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على خير الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And this concept is very interesting. Even in what's the day of Muharram?
Today, I think it's the third today. تفضل. Go ahead.
Yeah, even in medicine, you know, they teach us in medicine the abnormal thing before they teach us the normal thing before the diseases. You know, you have to study the normal, mm-hmm. and so you could be able to know the disease. Mm-hmm. You cannot just go one side and study about the disease, you know, everything wrong with the human being and such before you know the normal. What is the normal? And even in their court, you know, they make you swear on these things, you know, mm-hmm. tell the truth, the whole truth, mm-hmm. nothing but the truth, you know. Mm-hmm. They, because mm-hmm. part of it, you know, if you said part of the truth, you could be misleading the people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's they know it, like you said, they study it and they know it very good. Mm-hmm. But the only thing I have comfort in when you said the quality of al-haq. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us a universe of haqq. I mean, He gave us the Quran. It's mm-hmm. it's so much haqq in it. I mean, you have rules, ahkam, mm-hmm. you know, wisdom, you have facts, history. Mm-hmm. If you take each ayah or each word Allah said in the Quran, which is, you know, it's absolute haqq, mm-hmm. and you dwell in it, mm-hmm. you have your life. I mean, mm-hmm. if you want to know about something, go to the Quran and take what Allah said about it. Mm-hmm. This is the haqq, and dwell in it. Mm-hmm. Any fact about any nation or about any situation, about any, so this is really treasure. We should, you know, when we try to search for al-haqq, we should always mm-hmm. refer to the Quran, because subhanAllah, this is will never go away. That's the beauty of it.
Absolute.
Absolute haqq, yeah, absolute, and stay yeah. until the day of judgment. الحمد لله رب
العالمين. السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I am going to, inshallah, focus on the last part Sheikh Mahmoud talked about, which is the youth, the contemporary events that we are facing right now, and how do we, I mean, we know in the past, we know the books, the Immat al-Kutub, we know there are books about the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, we know it from the Quran, we know it from the Seerah, but as far as the contemporary events that we're going through now, and the recent events that we have been through as Muslims, how do we, where do we find this books or information that we can relate to the youth in this time?
There are many documentaries usually done in some other parts of the world, and it's not very popular, but is accurate. Okay, could be found in many places. And also now, the media of the Muslim world is getting stronger recently. And we can get documentary from there about what is really happening there. Okay, and some research on the internet can actually bring us many, you know, documentary where we can, especially it is good to see it and with your eyes, let the youth look at it. Okay. And see these facts and see the what's happening on the ground. Okay, it is all around. It's all around, and you know, and this is a project, inshallah, that we need to sit together and try to develop, to pick a topic, and exhaust the research about the medium we want to use with the video, CD, you know, DVDs or so, and we can, you know, develop a series about that topic, and we have, you know, speakers talk from maybe these lands and so forth where they are very close to them and get this, you know, connection to the Muslim world, the Muslim all over the world. And I think that, inshallah, will get the youth to be interested more, okay? And, you know, hopefully we can all work together in chat.
I found a site that have DVDs about all the documentaries in the world.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, I found it, alhamdulillah. So
here we go.
It's a little expensive, but inshallah, once you need the subject, we will get it, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
I just thought about something, and I was always thinking when I was growing
up. Get the microphone close to your mouth.
I was always thinking about this when I was growing as a child in India, because that happens to be the biggest democracy. And democracy is not haq.
Yes.
And I was always trying to find what is the answer for it.
Yeah.
And Allah Ta'ala gave me some knowledge after reading an article which was translated by Muhammad Pittal. Mm-hmm. And this article was written by Sayyid Halim Pasha. Sayyid Halim Pasha was the last prime minister of the Khulafat, if you wish to call it Khulafat, in the 1918 when it collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
He was the person who Allah Mia gave so much knowledge to him that he was trying to regroup the Muslim community, and he wrote two books or articles, and one of them was called The Reconstruction of the Muslim Society.
Mm-hmm.
In which he condemned democracy,
mm-hmm.
and how it was being imposed on the people in Turkey and to dissolve whatever Islamic values they had.
Mm-hmm.
And that article, I still have it. If anybody like to, you know, read that,
yes,
I'll be glad to bring it to you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll bring it to you. Mm-hmm. And Sayyid Halim Pasha had a short life. He was imprisoned as soon as the last Khalifa Abdul Hamid was asked to leave Turkey and go on a 5 minutes notice when the British troops moved inside. And he chose to go to Bayt al-Maqaddas. And when he died in 1932, the Nizam of Hyderabad, where I grew up, he wanted to bring his dead body because he was the last Khalifa. But then, he was also the in-laws for the Nizam of Hyderabad. somebody told him that, you know, it was his will that he should be buried in Bayt al-Muqaddas, and that's where he is today. Mm. And Sayyid Halim Pasha was imprisoned, and he was let go out of the prison after 1 year just to be killed by an Armenian. And there were other movements besides that, several other movements besides that to dissolve democracy, but we never hear about that. Mm-hmm. Inshallah, I'll bring the book to you.
Inshallah. The sisters would like to say anything, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa
I just want to add a little comment to Brother Mahmoud's beautiful speech about the truth, the haqq, in absolute truth, in the falsehood. That really is very, very easy to detect. There are certain measuring criteria or, you know, a benchmark for detecting the falsehood against the truth. Mm-hmm. Falsehood is always oriented towards self-interest and towards, you know, personal desires. That's how you see lots of movements, lots of groups, and organized interest groups. You know, they're promoting and they're propaganding their own agenda because it serves their economic interest, or deeply the end result or the outcome of it is, you know, to gain something out of that. And toward that, they twist the truth and repackage it in different ways so that it will actually serve their interest and their desires. Mm-hmm. The truth, subhanAllah, and absolute haqq is for the common cause of the whole human beings. Mm-hmm. It's never towards self-interest. It's always towards something that's beneficial for the whole group or whole society or whole community. Mm-hmm. So when you say, when you come across or when you hear or when you read certain agendas or certain programs or certain, you know, subjects, you know, dealing with, you know, the problems of humanities anywhere in the world, try to implement or employ those measures. Are they really targeting, you know, the benefits of the whole human beings or a big group of society that would make the human life really better, balanced, objective, or is it really just a mechanism that has been actually very well formulated just towards a certain group of people, mostly most of the time just giant economic, you know, companies, conglomerate, you know, worldwide companies that, you know, they reap lots of benefits, you know, monetary benefits from that. Yeah. So that's my comment.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Yeah, shabab. Again, for the sister, would you like the microphone there? Yes? Did I hear yes? Okay, could someone go? No? Okay. 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 Anyone else, inshallah? I got one. Okay. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.